The vet is in. Dr. Doreen Winning from Valley Veterinary Hospital here on KFGO. And Dr., no, that's not your ear going. That headphone just happens to only operate with one ear. So you're okay.
I'm lopsided.
You're okay. I will diagnose you as hearing well. Okay. But welcome back. Been a long time.
Yeah, it's great to be here, and we've got a lot to talk about tonight.
I know the last time we chatted, you said next time around, I want to talk about food for the pets.
Yes.
And let's get started right there. Talk about the different brands, the quality brands out there.
Well, basically, the key thing that people need to look for on their bag of food is what's called the AAFCO statement, A-A-F-C-O, and that stands for American Association of Feed Control Officials. And basically, they formulate guidelines for testing or do testing for these different foods. So basically, when you see the AAFCO statement on the bag, it's either going to say formulated to meet the nutritional levels established by AAFCO, or it'll say actually they used feeding tests using AAFCO protocols. So you kind of want to look for the foods that have actually been through feeding trials. Those are going to be the best foods out there.
So it's like just feeding them and then seeing how their blood works?
Yes, they'll take blood samples, tissue samples to assess how the dogs respond to that food. And it's very predictable. So they can formulate these diets meticulously to meet certain life stages. And so, you know, obviously those foods that have been through those feeding trials, that costs money. So those foods are going to be more expensive.
Speaking of life stages, I know when I had a dog, there was all kinds of puppy, adult, right. Overweight. There are all kinds of them, aren't there?
Right. And what I usually tell my clients is if you have a dog food that's formulated to meet all life stages, that, in my opinion, is not a good food to feed. Because puppies require different caloric content and different mineral balances than do adult dogs, than do senior dogs. So we have to be careful as we're transitioning from life stage to life stage, what foods we're feeding.
Is there such a thing as a generic pet food?
There's so many brands out there, Bob. And I myself can't even keep track of them. I went into the pet stores. You know, periodically I go in there and you just get overwhelmed. And I didn't realize how overwhelming it can be and what my clients are experiencing when they go in, because you see all these claims the labels make. They can make a lot of different claims on the pet food packaging. But again, what you're going to want to look for is that AAFCO statement that they've been through feeding trials. It's guaranteed that it's going to do this through feeding trials.
Now, people who have listened to the show know that you have four dachshunds.
Right.
What kind of, how many different brands are you using right
okay,
now?
Okay, so I have four different dogs and they're all on a different diet.
Really?
And I tell people when they come in for, you know, with your puppies for the first puppy visit, you are going to be looking for a food that fits this dog in particular. And there's no one food out there that's great for every single dog. There's no one perfect food. And so what I did with my puppies is when they came into my home, I started them out on a certain food, and it actually happened to be the food that the breeder had them on. And then I went and tried different, you know, AAFCO approved foods. And what I was looking for, I didn't want to pick up stool in the backyard 3 to 4 times a day. I wanted them to ideally go once or twice, and I didn't want them to be gassy. That to me was a sign that it wasn't agreeing with them. So there were a lot of things I looked at. Satiation. Are they full? Do they feel like they've consumed enough food? You know, I don't feel like I have to feed them 3 cups of food to get them satisfied. So I had certain requirements in my own house, and everybody else is different. But I probably went through at least 4 different foods before I found one that worked for them.
This is a whole different story, but my mother used to sit in her recliner with a book of matches just in case. Okay. That's a whole different story. I'll tell you what, I want to take our first break right here, but what a lot of people I know get nervous about is the cost of some of these foods. Some can be rather expensive, so we'll talk about that when we come back, okay?
Okay.
And Bob from Fargo is on the line right now with Dr. Doreen Winning. What's your question, Bob?
Good afternoon. Yes, my son has a mature Akita female, been a real good dog. She's about 7 or 8 years old. He recently moved to Denver, and as of this week, the dog has started tearing up his house, trying to get out. tearing up the floor. It was either $1,800 of damage today. Took him to the vet. The vet said everything looks normal. Blood work and the urine work was good. He said the only thing that seems to be different is the guy downstairs, which is legal down there, smokes a lot of pot.
Ooh.
And his place smells like that all the time. And the vet said that it might be that affecting the dog. Do you have any insight onto what marijuana does to dogs?
Right. And yes, it could be the marijuana. Certainly, we know that that can cause issues with dogs, especially, you know, anxiety, increased activity. But the key here, too, is did you say your son recently moved there?
The end of July. He's been there since August 1st.
Mm-hmm.
And the dog's been good up until this week.
Yeah. Yeah, and I guess I worry also about anxiety. I know I lived at one point in my life, I lived in a small apartment, and my dog didn't like it there. There was something about that place, whether it was the people around or whatever, they just caused an intense anxiety for her. And so it's possible that it's the surroundings, it's possible it's the marijuana. And the only way, unfortunately, you're going to know is by getting her out of that environment and seeing if she settles down. Otherwise, you're looking at, you know, potentially mood altering drugs, behavioral modification, that kind of thing. So, you know, if there's a way for him to get her out of there, just even for a couple weeks, just to see how she responds, that would be great.
He could call the cops.
Yeah, except I don't think in Colorado they do much there.
No, they don't. He's already tried that route, and landlord said, hey, it's legal here.
Yeah.
No, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
Hey, Bob, thank you so much.
Good
appreciate
luck.
Your call. Good luck to you, my man. All right. Let's take Ed first, and then we've got to talk more about this pet food here in just a moment. Ed from Fargo is on the line with Dr. Doreen Winning here on KFGO. Hi, Ed.
Hello, Dr. Doreen.
Hi.
This time of year, hopefully this is a timely question. I was out hunting this past weekend, and my hunting dog got skunked.
Yes.
And I'm wondering what you have for thoughts or ideas of how to get some of that scent out.
Right. There are different recipes. There's Skunk Off. It's actually a product that you can wash your dog with. It's a commercial product. You can probably get that at different retailers. You can also try, at the clinic, we have a recipe for removing skunk odors. And I know people have tried tomato juice, but I think there's one with like baking soda. And if somebody has that recipe, they can call in because I don't have it off the top of my head. But there's a recipe that works really well. But the key is you have to do more than one bath. It's really, really hard to get that odor out. And I'm sure it was a real fun ride home.
The windows were open.
Oh, I bet they were. There were probably some tearing eyes, too.
Ed, best of luck to you, okay?
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ed.
Take care. Bye-bye. The cost of the pet food, especially the specialized stuff, it does cost a little more, doesn't it?
Right. And again, you're going to pay more for the foods that have been through feeding trials. But I also don't believe you need to spend $100 on a bag of dog food. And there's a feel-good factor to it. When you see a nice, pretty bag of dog food sitting there that makes all these claims, it makes you want to buy it because you want what's best for your pet. But you don't need to spend a whole bunch of money on these specialized, or I call them designer diets. I've gone on the internet before and looked at, you know, it seems like anybody can make dog food, and they're making claims, but they aren't backed by testing. So I guess the key take-home point is make sure that they've gone through testing, feeding trials, not just, you know, nutritional analysis, but actual feeding trials.
And you can get gluten-free.
You can get gluten-free trial or dog foods. But my problem is that there's been no testing that has consistently proved that gluten sensitivities, corn allergies are problems in dogs. Yes, they can happen, but they are extremely rare. So when you're spending more money for a gluten-free dog food, just keep that in the back of your mind. Gluten intolerances in dogs have been found to be very rare.
From Dilworth, Dan joins us right now. The vet is in. Dr. Doreen Winning. Hello, Dan.
Hi. This isn't about the food, but the dish that it's being served in.
Sure.
My cat, his chin started swelling up and got a huge rash. Couldn't figure out what was causing it. I took him to the vet, and the vet said he had chin acne.
Yep.
And it was because of a plastic dish, and plastic is porous, and therefore you know, could be contaminated. Well, $500 later, the cat wasn't much better. So I moved to another city, took it to another vet, and she confirmed it. It was chin acne.
Mm-hmm.
Well, $300 later and more shots, it finally was cured. But I'm wondering why pet stores are allowed to sell, or why they even would sell plastic containers.
I think it's a factor of cost. People are looking for the cheapest option.
Yeah.
And
but when you spend $800 versus $20 for a stainless steel bowl or something like that.
Yeah, and you know, chin acne is a very common problem, and it's something that we don't think about. Is and so it's a very good point, Dan. Thank you for bringing it up, because it's a valid concern in any pet that's actually consuming food or drink out of a plastic bowl.
All right. Thank you very much, Dan. Appreciate it. Before we take our next break here, you've got mentioning that the different types of food that cats and dogs, you've got different categories, right?
Right. So a lot of people have concerns their cats are eating their dog's food or vice versa. The thing to remember, cats need cat food. They have certain nutritional requirements like taurine. But in general, cats are carnivores. They need higher protein and lower carbs. Dogs are omnivores. They need a more balanced diet, more balanced protein and carb content than cats. So something to keep in mind there.
Okay, speaking of cats, you're saying that wellness exams should be coming up.
Right.
All right, well, we'll be talking about that in just a few moments. The vet is in, Dr. Doreen Winning, our special guest again tonight here on the Mighty 790 KFGO. Dr. Doreen Winning from the Valley Veterinary Hospital has been joining us, and we're talking about the wellness exam for cats, and they should be done probably right around now, huh?
Right. A lot of people tend to forget about their cats because they're indoor only, and they just think, gosh, you know, it's healthy. We don't need to bring them in. Those cats still need vaccines, and the purpose of the wellness exam is to pick up on diseases that the owners may not pick up. You know, when you see an animal every day, it's just like me with my dogs. I may not notice something going on because you're just so conditioned and used to it. So stuff like weight problems, we tend to address very frequently. And, you know, checking the liver, checking the kidneys in some of those senior cats. Usually we want to do blood work once a year on those guys. We want to catch the diseases before you start noticing problems at home. Mm-hmm. And that usually means you pick it up earlier on blood work. And so that's the whole purpose behind it.
Now, cats can get fleas too, right?
Indoor cats can get fleas. And this just happened to me the other day. I had somebody come in, and we didn't even think about fleas. You know, the owner and I were talking, and a completely indoor cat never, ever goes outside, but the owner has a dog that goes outside. The dog's on flea prevention, but the dog was the culprit and started carrying in little cargo, little fleas coming in on the dog. They jump off the dog. He's got the prevention on, hop on the cat, and here we go. We've got a flea infestation. So something to think about in those of us who have cats that are completely indoors, but the dogs are going in and out. So
you mentioned that cats can be a little, they can kind of mask. That's the good reason to bring the cat in, because they can kind of fool you whether or not they're sick or not, right?
Right. And cats are normally very sedentary creatures, especially as they get older. And so you may not notice if your cat is quieter than normal, just because they're always quiet. So they're very, very much adept at hiding their illnesses and injuries.
Cats like going to the vet?
Cats don't necessarily like going to the vet. And here's another reason why some of us owners don't want to bring our cats in. Valley Vet does make house calls. So
really?
Yes. We started doing that now in the last few months. So we're getting the word out. We can come to your house, and it's especially nice for people with cats. It's especially nice for acupuncture, especially in cats. You know, they can relax at home while they're getting their needles. And there was one case I had a couple days ago where the owner brought the cat home. She has two cats. One was at home. One had gone into the vet for its wellness. And the cat that was at the vet was attacked by the cat at home because it had funny smells on it. And she said it was actually awful. And so now we've decided, you know what? Your cats aren't going to come in for their wellness anymore. We're going to go to them. Oh. So,
by the way, I just have to, off the top of my head here, I know that dogs sometimes will get very nervous when they go to the vet and maybe lose, shed some hair, you know.
Right.
Do cats have any reaction like that?
They do. Cats can shed much, much more when they're nervous and at the vet. So we see that a lot. And, you know, animals naturally shed periodically. And when they're under stress, it's going to be much more pronounced.
Now, when somebody also, by the way, wants their cat declawed, should they have them all or just the front?
That's another good question. And my usual response to that is going to be, do you have furniture that you're particularly in love with? Because if you do, some people have leather furniture that they've spent a lot of money on. Those cats, when they jump up on the furniture, they propel with their hind legs and they can catch their claws in the leather. So if you're attached to your furniture, you might consider four-paw declaw. If you're just wanting to, you know, avoid scratches on the kids or whatever, scratches on your door sills, then two-paw is perfectly fine. And there's a lot of controversy over declaws, as you may know. Mm-hmm. And my theory is I would rather have a cat that is humanely declawed with pain relief than have a dead cat.
And by the way, would they like to knead a lot of things, you know, and that, especially your thigh or tummy, that could really hurt.
Yeah.
If they're not declawed.
Yep.
we've got just seconds left here. Dr. Doreen Winning from the Valley Veterinary Hospital. Let's go through the numbers again and also the websites.
So our phone number is 232-3391, and our website is valleyveterinary.net.
Okay. Now somebody just said, have her do that slower.
Sorry. 232-3391. I knew as soon as that came out. So.
Very good. So get those cats in and also check out the latest. You'll be happy to answer any questions about pet food, too, I'm assuming.
Absolutely. All We'd be happy to.
Great seeing you again. We'll see you in a
Thank
month.
Thank you. Yes.
All right. Very good. Dr. Doreen Winning, our special guest tonight. The Vet is in.